This edition of Our Town is very candidate-centric, and joining me for another round is Alex Garlatos, and he is running for the 4th Congressional District in the state of Oregon against Mr. Peter DeFazio, and welcome back. Good to see you again.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. A lot has changed since you and I last talked. The campaign's in full gear. How's it going for you?
It's honestly going great. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of grassroots support. Donations are flowing in. We've got a bunch of volunteers. I mean, we're really just hitting the ground running, and it's a little different with coronavirus and things like that, of course, but we're really making do, and I couldn't be more excited.
What is the – obviously, this is your first campaign, so you might not have a lot to draw from, but you're up against a long-term candidate, I mean, long-term congressman. What is sort of your plan to overcome his longevity in office?
Well, it's really simple. You just have to ask people if their life has gotten better over the last 33 years of Peter DeFazio or not. And Oregon's 4th Congressional District is now the poorest in the state. And Peter DeFazio hasn't done anything for us, and I don't think he needs another 2 years to do it.
Obviously, there's some industries here, long-time industries, fishing, logging. We have a couple logging companies here locally that have struggled. And they've struggled not only, you know, from the federal standpoint, but also from the state standpoint, you know, with the cat tax and everything. What is your word to them on your commitment to getting things kind of going again there?
Well, I don't really have a commitment to the timber industry. I mean, I'm not – forest management is really one of the main reasons why I decided to run, but it's not necessarily for the timber industry. It's just so that we can get out and manage our forests better. I mean, these huge forest fires are a colossal waste of a natural resource that's renewable. And I mean, I'm sure it would help the 4th Congressional District's economy and the timber industry if we get back out and managing the forests, but I'm mostly just doing it because that's what we should be doing already. I mean, these forest fires are not good for the environment. They're not good for the industry. They're not good for county governments that receive money from ONC dollars. It's just a colossal waste on just about every front, and it's something I feel like we should have been able to compromise and find a solution on by now. But instead, we're 30 years down the road from when this problem started, and we still haven't been able to get anything done. So it's going to be one of my biggest priorities if elected.
Obviously, you've been looking at what's been going on with the House and the Senate over the last couple of years, maybe last – for my lifetime, it's been more the last couple of decades. But it seems like there's so much more contentious debate going on. Can you yourself kind of bring a more calming effect going in? What is your philosophy on how to handle the disrepair there?
Yeah, I think – every American can see that we've become more and more divided as a country, and the two political parties couldn't seem more far apart than they are already, and we really do need compromise. I mean, especially in a place like Oregon's 4th Congressional District that is very moderate and considered a toss-up politically. I mean, we should have a representative that can reach across to both sides of the aisle and actually get something done, and there's not enough political compromise in the country already, and that's something that I would definitely look at trying to further, because we can't continue down this road of thinking Republicans are the enemy or Democrats are the enemy. We need to figure out what we actually can get common ground on and what we agree on and move the needle on those issues.
So other than managing our forests in the 4th Congressional District, what are some of the other key things that you think you could have a positive impact on if you were to be elected?
The economy as a whole. I mean, I also am still running as a Republican, so I believe in cutting taxes and regulation. I think that would be beneficial to the Oregon's 4th Congressional District as a whole, because we're not all timber-based. I mean, like you said, there's fishing on the coast and grass seed farming up north. It's a very diverse area, and we need to be cognizant of that. I mean, also lowering the cost of prescription drugs is another large priority for me, as well as really trying to get better health care into the 4th Congressional District as a whole. We're also lagging behind in that area as well, not to mention we have some of the highest homelessness rates and child abuse rates in the country.
You mentioned the medical aspect of it. One of the difficult things about the 4th Congressional District is we can find good candidates to come here, but then it seems like they don't always stay. So, and I don't know, I mean, I'm sure that's a myriad of things that cause that. What sort of, do we need more infrastructure in our communities in order to bring about that? I mean, we have a lot here in Florence. We have, you know, we have the dunes, we have, you know, hiking, we have all that stuff, but some of the other communities might not have that. What do you see that we can do as a congressional district to sort of help people stay in those positions? Because it's a big turnover rate.
Well, I mean, honestly, I think the 4th Congressional District's fantastic. I mean, we have tons of outdoor activities. What it seems to me, the reason they don't stay is that they find higher paying jobs elsewhere. And that's because our economy is not strong enough to compete with, you know, the economies of San Francisco, Los Angeles, or Seattle, or Boise, Idaho, where a lot of these people leave to for higher paying jobs. I mean, we need to pay our medical professionals a little bit more if we expect them to stay here long term. And that's, of course, a very diverse problem, like you mentioned. But I think strengthening the economy is the first step in that direction.
We already have an influx of new residents that come to this area, that come up and down the coast here because of what we have here. So another thing that bothers us, or not bothers us, but plagues us, is affordable housing. What do you see as a role of giving some monies or federal monies into the 4th Congressional District, or you know, maybe building from within to help that situation?
Well, I believe that's where cutting taxes and regulation comes in. I mean, we should be allowed to build more affordable housing and not have to go through as much red tape. That's one of the biggest problems in the 4th Congressional District as a whole, and especially on the coast. If you allow the free market to solve that problem, people will come in and build houses if there's a demand for it. But government tends to get in the way of things like that, which is unfortunate, and that's what I'd look at solving.
I've had a few friends of mine over the years that have been in Congress, and one of them left because he didn't see a road to making those changes. What do you feel is different now, or what do you feel you can bring to bring about that change? Because there's a lot of business as usual that goes on.
Absolutely. And I'm not naive to the fact that it's going to be very difficult, but I'm young and I have the energy. And sometimes you do need a fresh look and someone with energy to actually go out and try to solve these problems. I mean, it's unfortunate, but Peter DeFazio has been there for 33 years and he hasn't been able to get anything done. If I had someone in a position for 33 years and they weren't able to solve the problems and things, in fact, got worse, I would look at getting someone else in that position. And I may not be perfect, and I understand that it's going to be a tough road, and politics is a very dirty business, and it's very hard to get anything done. But I definitely have the time and the energy, and I'm going to give it everything I have.
What can you do as far as soliciting support from on a state level? Because you're going to have some agreement, you know, with how the state is doing their thing in order for the congressional district to help thrive there. Do you feel like there's a need to kind of get along or to find consensus or compromise as far as with the state goes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the Oregon state government's just as bad as the federal government in a lot of ways, especially when it comes to overregulating and even timber management. I mean, we should be able to find compromise there as well. I mean, obviously, I'm running for federal office, not state, but it seems like even the Republicans and Democrats on the state level are just as divided, if not more so, and Republicans are at a super minority in the state Senate, I believe. So we really need to, I guess, get some more Republicans elected, because one side having control for too long or at too much of an extreme is never healthy, no matter which party you're talking about.
Because it affects the 4th Congressional District.
Absolutely.
You know, even though you're on seeking a federal post, you know, what happens in the state is going to affect that. So there has to be some way for everybody to kind of get along and find ways to work together.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that is definitely going to be a tough nut to crack, but we need to start moving the needle in that direction. We need to start electing people that are maybe not the most perfect for either party, but someone that can actually get something done with both parties. Because too often I find that, especially in the two-party system, both parties elect people on the extremes because that's who they like, but then they have to go to a general election and appeal to the 60 or 70% of people that are in the middle that don't really like either extreme.
Well, and one of the problems is getting that centric group of people to get out and vote. You usually have a polarized left or a polarized right that gets their base going. And that's usually who decides what's going on. What do you say to the folks in the middle that are the majority of the population that kind of threw their hands up and go, you know, there's no hope here?
Well, I'd say get organized. I mean, the reason the Republicans and the Democrats are so powerful is because they have their act together and they have meetings and they try to work together to accomplish goals. There's no non-affiliated voter party in Oregon. They don't have monthly meetings. That's really the problem as to why they're getting left out of the conversation. But I'm trying to appeal to those exact voters and trying to say, hey, let's figure out what everybody can agree on, such as salvage logging, for instance. Most people agree that salvage logging is a good thing, but then why isn't it already in law? And that's unfortunate. But things like that are what I'm going to try to champion.
Well, in the end, as you mentioned, you find what you can agree on. I was speaking with Jill Rick Perkins running for U.S. Senate, and she kind of said what I agree with is that we have a lot of things in common. So how do we bring that out? How do you get the conversation going to someone that may not initially vote for you to kind of say, hey, look, this is kind of what we have that we need to get together on?
Well, you can look at things, say the Second Amendment, for instance, right? Due to what I survived in the middle of a gun-free continent, I'm very pro-Second Amendment. But you can talk to someone and say, you know, hey, we don't believe that machine guns should be legal. And for instance, especially when it comes to gun laws, there's a lot of misconceptions because machine guns are not legal. You cannot buy one over the counter like a lot of people think. So clearing up misconceptions is the first step. Then you have to figure out what you actually agree on and try to pass legislation that affects that, because obviously if someone thinks that all guns should be banned, and I think concealed carry should be perfectly legal, we're probably not going to find much compromise. But when it comes to, you know, increasing security systems in schools to prevent mass shootings, we can both agree on that. Mm-hmm. So why hasn't more been done on that issue in particular? I mean, that's conversations that we need to have to figure out what we actually agree on, and then pass laws that only affect that area, and they don't get, you know, bundled together with bad legislation that then fall along party lines and don't go anywhere.
Well, I have a fear that things have changed so much, you know, over the decades, that the issues of guns is kind of be totally different. When I grew up, see, you weren't even born yet. When I grew up, we didn't worry about going to school every day. We didn't worry about someone coming in there and shooting. We didn't worry about, you know, that. Things have changed so much, and maybe it's due because, you know, we forgot to parent our kids. Maybe it's due to, you know, the influence that outside things have in common. There is something broke along the way that we have to find a way to fix, and I don't know that that's something in the purview of the 4th Congressional District or not. But common sense would tell us that things are different now. How do you talk to that person? I've actually never met anybody who's totally against guns. Maybe I'm sheltered in that way. But I have talked to a lot of people that want more regulation. How do you talk to them?
Well, I would, again, try to use facts and statistics and try to figure out what we can actually agree on. Because, again, I don't believe in banning AR-15s, because an AR-15 is just a look. It's not a function, right? If you make sense. You know, if you talk about banning AR-15s, you're really talking about banning all semi-automatic weapons, and that's not realistic. So that's probably a terrible issue for me to go on, because I am a little bit far right on the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. But I mean, people want to ban guns, not because they hate guns, it's because they hate gun violence.
Right.
So you got to look at what you actually want to accomplish is solving a gun violence problem, not a gun problem. And there's different ways to do that, and they don't all involve banning guns. And so if you want to solve gun violence, let's look at, you know, fighting crime, fighting illegal gun trafficking, things like that, not banning guns as a whole, and really legislating people that are already following the law, and it's not really going to affect criminals. That's where.
Give me kind of your bucket list of what you'd like to see happen.
Well, I would like to start managing forest properly to prevent these massive forest fires that we've had this year in particular. I mean, this is the worst fire season we've had in probably about 100 years. I mean, it's a colossal waste of natural resources, renewable resources, and of course, it's not good for the environment. That's one issue I'd like to find compromise on. Of course, it would boost the economy and money coming into county governments. And probably my second issue personally is defending the Second Amendment. And third would be lowering the cost of prescription drugs and healthcare as a whole for the 4th Congressional District.
That sounds like you have your work cut out for you. For sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Alex Carlos, thank you so much for stopping in today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
And that's our October edition of Our Town. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Coast Radio.